Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So Humza Yousaf, the First Minister of Scotland, is set to resign this morning after failing to secure enough votes to survive a vote of confidence later in the week. His power-sharing arrangement with the Scottish Greens collapsed last Thursday after he decided to scrap 2030 climate targets. For more on this, I'm joined by Conor Matchett, who is political editor with the Scottish Sun. Good morning, Conor.
Morning, Claire.
So is this expected to happen in the coming hours, this resignation?
Yeah, we're expecting a press conference in Bute House, which is the home of the First Minister, at around 12 o'clock lunchtime, which we're expecting to confirm the news that we've been hearing all morning, which is that, as you say, First Minister's set to resign.
So talk to us about what happened. What led up to this collapse of the deal with the Scottish Greens?
Yeah, so this has been brewing for quite a few months. It's been the power sharing agreement with the Greens has been an active question among SNP people since Nicola Sturgeon resigned last year. However, it came to a head in the last couple of weeks when, first of all, the government scrapped 2030 climate targets, as you mentioned, which caused internal ructions within the Scottish Greens. They were due to hold a vote on the deal themselves. And we also had the CAST review into gender healthcare for children, which caused a row, which could have seen a confidence vote in a Green minister from the SNP internal rebellion. And Humza Yousaf fundamentally believed that he was going to end up in a situation that he was facing this week, which was a vote of no confidence, however which way it was going to happen. So he decided to do that on his terms. And here we are a few days later after he announced the ditching of that deal, and he's got no support or not enough support in Holyrood, and he's decided to call it a day.
OK, well, I'll come back to you in a moment, Conor, but I want to bring in Professor John Curtis, who is Professor of Politics at Strathclyde University. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you.
Do you think that this is going to take Scotland into an election? And if that were to happen, how would the parties fare?
Well, that is a risk that all of the parties face, given that they started developments that none of them are in control of back last Thursday. So Humza Yousaf in deciding to ditch the Greens was the first development that led to unintended consequences. Then the second was the decision of the Conservatives, then Labour, to put down votes of no confidence straight away at Holyrood. And that at least has meant that there is the prospect of an election. I think what we're now, however, looking out for today is, Mr. Yousaf is now expected to resign, that as a result, at back of that, then if he resigns straight away, as opposed to saying he's going to indicate his intention to resign, then the SNP have to find somebody within 28 days whom they can succeed in getting the Parliament to elect as First Minister. And I think the brutal lesson of the last 4 days is that whoever is the new First Minister has to be somebody who can get the Greens on board, but equally get the Greens on board while at the same time maintaining the unity of his own party. And there are elements of his party who are uncomfortable in relation with the Greens. But the truth is, there doesn't seem to be any other game in town.
Mm-hmm. Conor, have they got someone to step in?
Well, there's chat this morning that John Swinney, who was the former Deputy First Minister under Nicola Sturgeon, might be being persuaded to stand if he stands as leader. And that'll be a unifying candidate. He's the only man in Holyrood and in the SNP who could probably unify the SNP under one banner. There's also conversations around Kate Forbes, who was the defeated leadership candidate to Humza Yousaf last year. But she, as Sir John kind of mentioned, she's got a similar problem to Humza Yousaf in that there'll be quite a large number of MSPs within the SNP who won't like Kate Forbes as First Minister, given the role that she's had destabilising Humza Yousaf over the last year. And then we've also got, you know, potential current cabinet ministers, the likes of Education Secretary Jenny Gilruth, Health Secretary Neil Gray, Net Zero Secretary Mary McCallum, all of whom are viewed as rising stars within the SNP. But a lot will come down to exactly what Humza Yousaf announces later today. It's probably most likely that he'll announce he'll stay on until the SNP find a new leader, in which case we're set for a repeat of last year's pretty bitter, pretty vicious leadership campaign.
Yes, and people will remember just how bitter that was. But John, if this does tip Scotland into an election, given how the polls are at the moment, how would the parties fare?
Well, in a sense, we're not, none of us are quite sure where the polls are at the moment, because we don't know what the impact of all of this is on the electorate. But certainly, what at the moment the polls, well, most of them have been anticipating, is that there would no longer be a pro-independence majority in the Scottish Parliament. And that means, irrespective of politics at Westminster, there will be no immediate prospect of anybody attempting to call for a Scottish referendum. Whether or not who will emerge as the largest party, that's much more difficult. The polls, for the most part, were still suggesting that the SNP might emerge as the largest party, but they would find themselves in an even more deeply minority situation, a minority situation in which just getting the cooperation of the Greens would not be enough. They would need collaboration with one or more other parties. And again, one of the reasons why we are, why the Greens are the only party that's biddable, is that ahead of a Westminster election, at least, in which all three of the Unionist parties, Conservatives, Labour and Liberal Democrats, fancy their chances of profiting from the SNP's current electoral difficulties, getting an agreement that enables the SNP to form a minority administration in a even weaker position they are at the moment would just be more difficult. So I think the SNP will very, very much want to try to avoid an election, which means ultimately finding a First Minister candidate that indeed can get endorsed by the Scottish Parliament.
OK, John, and Conor, just before you go, this gamble that Humza Yousaf took, you know, ditching the climate targets for 2030, was he under pressure from his own party? Is that what led him down that path?
Yeah, I think the thing to remember with the position that Humza Yousaf found himself in over the last couple of weeks is that these targets, these 2030 targets, were viewed as stretch targets when they were agreed by Parliament a few years ago. And the Independent Climate Change Committee basically said that they were no longer credible. It put him in the impossible situation of having to shout loudly for green policies while also not hitting the targets that those green policies were for. It put the Greens in an impossible situation of being seen to be anti-climate policy. And it just ended up in a situation where he was fundamentally weakened by this, the instability that a vote on the Bute House Agreement by the Scottish Greens would have brought about. He made that decision to ditch the agreement himself, and it's led him to this situation. I don't think that he ever fully, really thought the Greens would vote against him, but the manner in which they were dumped meant that this was about revenge. I've had a few people within the Scottish Greens say that, you know, we don't care what happens to Humza Yousaf. He's wronged us. We want revenge, and it's time for him to go.
All right. Well, it seems that they got it. Conor Matchett and John Curtis, thank you both. Let's take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.